The good news for this morning is found in Luke chapter 2, beginning at the 22nd verse. You can find that on your pew Bible. I invite you to turn to page 1217. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons, as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him, and he had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to the people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at the things Simeon said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God, which many people will speak against, and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow, like a short, sharp sword, will break your own heart." There was a very old prophet, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple. Day and night, she worshiped God, fasting and praying. That very same hour, she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. When Joseph and Mary had finished doing all that was required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew and became strong. He was full of wisdom, and God's blessings were upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This is a beautiful story of Simeon and Anna, Mary and Joseph. I remember the story from way back when I was a kid in Sunday school, and somehow found this story maybe a bit mysterious and awesome. Simeon gets to hold Jesus in his arms. I remember thinking how amazing that would be to get to hold little baby Jesus in my arms. But maybe we need to look at this story a little bit more to understand it in a different way. It says the time came for Mary and Joseph. The time was about 40 days after the birth of Jesus. So we're actually going backwards in time here a little bit, back to Christmas time. This was part of the Jewish rituals and the Jewish laws of the temple to present the child, the firstborn male, and Mary needed to come and participate in purification rites as a new mother. And so they brought with them some pigeons or doves and came to do what was required of them. Think about a young couple with a newborn baby. All the hope and anticipation in this time of your life. This is the time when now they're finally coming out into public after having that child. It's a pretty special and amazing time. As new parents, you're kind of fearful and excited and trying to understand what's going on. And this is Mary and Joseph. And the type of sacrifice that they had to offer these pigeons, it's a clue that's a poor person's sacrifice. And so we know that they are this poor couple, but they are coming, I believe, with hope to the temple. And there they meet Simeon and Anna, faithful, pious, devout people. Simeon is an old priest. Now here in the text, and this is the only place we hear about Simeon, it doesn't tell us how old Simeon really is. But there are stories in the ancient tradition that say Simeon was 208 years old. Now I don't know about that. But we have a sense that Simeon is old. I also remember, and it's puzzling and curious to me, I remember being taught that Simeon was blind. I have no idea where that comes from. It's not here in the text. But I swear I remember that as a child. But Simeon's name means hearing or understanding. And so even though he talks about seeing the salvation, maybe there's something also about hearing and understanding. And then Anna, the widow. She's at least 84 years old, and some even put her older than that. She spends day and night in the temple. She too is pious and faithful, but she is probably also poor and outcast. There is no other place for her to go, and so she stays in the temple. And Simeon finally says, "Lord, let your servant depart in peace. He is ready to die at the end of his life, ready to receive salvation." So it's sort of this beautiful, mystical story, I think, but I wonder, is it too hard to relate to? Do they seem too pious, Simeon and Anna? Always in the temple? Is it too isolated from the real world? Lord, let your servant go in peace. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful text that we read at funerals often. But is salvation only for the end of life? Is it only tied up in this notion of heaven? How are we to understand it? What does it really look like? So I was thinking about this and wondering about this. So in my constant effort to be hip and cool, I decided I would put this out there on social media. And so I did this, you know, put it out there, engage people on social media, and I put it out on our Facebook page. And I said, in 5 words or less, what does salvation look like to you? And I was eager to get your responses. Nothing. Well, that was helpful, huh? It shows that almost 200 people saw the post, over 200 people saw the post, and not one response. This only confirms my suspicion that we're not really sure what we're talking about when we use big words like salvation And maybe people are a little afraid to weigh in, a little unsure that that was too big a question, too tough to put yourself out there. So I decided to do something novel and actually talk to real life people. Imagine that, not just on social media. And so I started asking people this week, you know, and I said, excuse me, nerdy pastor question, what does salvation look like to you? You know the first response I got back? Well, what does that word mean? Kind of took the wind out of my sails. But it's a good question. And it's right to ask those questions. How does it matter if I use these big words if no one understands them? What does it matter if we come to church every week if we don't understand what we're talking about? Do we even think of salvation as something that relates to our daily lives, as something for here and now? So back to my questioning and conversations. So what does salvation look like to you? Well, what does that mean? Oh, is it something like the Salvation Army? I said, well, okay, what if you think of salvation? I said, whoa, wait, how about if you Google it first? What does it say there? So Google says, well, it's preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Well, deliverance, what's that? That's too big a word, too, I'm getting accused of. I said, oh, that's, you know, I said, that was a good word. No, what's deliverance? So finally, I said, well, what about if you think about it as the act of being saved? What if you think about it as being rescued? What do you need rescuing from in your life? Well, that's easier. Immediately, the answers start coming in. Oh, I need rescue from my debt. Student loans are killing me. Oh, I'd love to be able to get some money and help my parents pay off their house and help fix up this other house. Oh, that would be great. Another answer was, I think we need to be rescued from work. Too many people put too much into work. And they work and work and work, this person said. And she's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like they're too tied up in it and they don't pay attention to anything else. And I said, like caring too much about their status? Yeah, well, that's part of it. And part of it is like they make so much importance about what you do that they're not caring about the people around them. People need rescuing from work. Another answer was, we'd been talking previously about what goes on in schools with kids, and they said, you know, we need rescuing from hate. There's too much bullying going on in schools, and boy, if we could be rescued from the bad ways that we treat each other, that would be great. So I ask you this morning, what do you need rescuing from in your lives? What do you wish you could be saved from right now? Loneliness? Depression? Poor health? Anxiety? Family problems, conflict, addiction. Another person, when I asked what does salvation look like, said, faith. I need faith the size of a tiny mustard seed. That's what I need. We are all in need of rescue. We are all in need of God's salvation. And it's not something that just comes after we die. That's a gift that we have to look forward to, but it's not just that. It's also not about just sort of this magical pouring down of a lottery, and if we're lucky, God will save us. Salvation is God's promise to us, here and now, in the future, and it has been God's promise since days of old. Jesus says this is what he's about. Two chapters down the road in Luke from what we read this morning, Jesus gets up to read the scroll in the temple from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, rescue from debt. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, freedom from addiction, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Whatever it is that you need rescue from, God is promising to free you, to save you." Salvation, what does it mean? What if we thought of it in this way, that God wants to make the world whole, to fulfill the world's promise, to mend our torn and tattered lives? It is a gift from God for us now. That magical, mystical story of Simeon, it teaches us something about this gift of salvation. Simeon is led to the temple by the Holy Spirit. We too have that gift, whether we acknowledge it or recognize it or realize it in our lives. It is active in our lives, moving us toward God. Simeon holds that baby Jesus in his arms and sees the Lord's salvation. You are going to come forward this morning and hold Jesus in your hands too, receiving God's gift of salvation for you. And Simeon and Anna, they were old, who knows how old. But as anyone that gets to a certain age knows, you don't get through life without struggle, without hardship. They certainly were there having experienced their own share of it. They probably had days that they were tired, that they were hopeless, that they wanted to give up. And yet, they received this gift given to them. And sometimes it comes in surprising ways. We may not even know where it's coming from, as it comes here in this story in a baby, in a vulnerable, meek little child. And Simeon extols the fact that God has kept God's promise. God's presence and promise have been there throughout all of history. And if it is eternal, time has no bounds. And so salvation is now, it is in the future, it has been with us in the past. And God's promise tells us that we can trust it. And it is for all peoples, inclusive and universal. It is not something merely private and personal, but it is for the whole world. So whatever it is, the rescue that you need, come and receive salvation. It is for you. It is a light for our pathway. Another name for this Sunday, besides presentation of our Lord, Candlemas, said, told you about the candles and the light shining. Let us take this image of God as light for the world, and let us be our own individual candles walking out of here, our lights shining, as we spread and share the news of God's salvation. So come, receive God's gift. Find rescue and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.